in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus. You need to get off the couch and complain and get into your heavenly place. Amen. We need to quit living like we're staying in this world. We need to quit talking like we're staying in this world. We need to change our vocabulary. We need to talk about the goodness of God. We need to talk about the greatness of God. Things like the psalm says, as great as the Lord, and great that he can pray in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Why, he's beautiful for situation. He's the joy of the whole earth. We need to talk about the goodness and the greatness of our God. Quit surrendering to the spirit that grips you. Amen. And pulls you down onto that couch. And you begin to bicker and complain about your life and your situation. Get up. Stand upon your feet. And know that God is your strength. Know that God is your strength and an ever-present help in your time of need. Do not surrender to the couch of complaint, but know the peace of God that passes all understanding. It kind of works like this. This Friday evening, we went down to the viewing for Sister Lynn Dimmel's husband, James Dimmel. Sister Lynn is a wonderful minister of the gospel, and she goes to New Mexico with us, and a few of us went down there to the viewing to pay our respects. There was a peace in that place. Jesse, 57 years old, died very unexpectedly. He died in his chair, sitting in his living room. Massive heart attack. Totally unexpected. But I want to tell you, Sister Lynn had a great peace about her. And it's in those times where you see that peace that just denies understanding. It defies rational thinking. How can someone who has lost something so dear and something so unexpectedly and lost so much, how can anyone like that not be just totally torn apart? Prophet Isaiah said, we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Oh yeah, things happen to us Christians, but we're greater sinners than us. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ this morning? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ this morning? Listen, that power that resides, somebody needs to understand. So somebody in this room needs to understand the power that resides in you. How do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you this morning? If you are a born again believer in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you. And you get up every morning and you act the way you normally act, and we go on about life the way we normally do. But do we understand that that power that resides in us is the same exact spirit that in the beginning brooded over this earth and help create this earth, and the same spirit that breathed life into mankind when he was just a lump of lifeless dirt. The same spirit that one day, when Jesus Christ, amen, the Son of the living God, lay dead in a tomb, the same spirit that raised him up from the dead dwells in you. Get off your couch. Get off the couch. Amen. The church, listen, sometimes I think the church has turned into one big psychiatric hospital. Don't anybody throw anything at me. I'm on the couch too. So listen, we're just one. It's just one big psychiatric hospital. Because here's our testimony. She's driving me crazy. He's driving me nuts. That's our confession. No, we're not. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in us. No, we're not losing it. No, we're not going crazy. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but the Lord's speaking to somebody here. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit. Oh, come on. I have given you a spirit of love. That was a little loud, wasn't it? Love. Power. I've given you a spirit of love. That means you can love people who never greet you with love. I've given you a spirit of love. I've given you a spirit of power. That means you have an anointing, an authority over every power in the enemy. I've given you a spirit of power. Power to cast out devils. Power over unclean spirits. Power to lay hands on the sick and pray for them and watch them be healed in the name of Jesus. You have power. I have given you a spirit. Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power. Here you go, all those crazies. I have given you a spirit of a sound mind. The theology of peace. Peace in the city. Notice what he said. He said, seek the peace of the city. Listen, we need to seek the peace of day for day for life. Oh, there's an unrest in this city. There's an unrest in our communities. These people aren't at peace. Part of the reason so many runs and drugs and alcohol and so many are looking for answers and other things is the reason is they're not at peace in their spirit. They're troubled. They're looking for answers. They're looking for something to ease the pain. But we know that Jesus is the answer. Amen? The theology of presence, the theology of peace, and lastly, the theology of prayer. Notice he said, pray for the city. He said, seek the peace of the city, whether I've caused you to be carried away, and pray unto the Lord for it. I'm amazed at people who complain about things but never pray for it. We complain about so much. We need to just start taking our authority in the name. How do you know you can pray in the name of Jesus? You can pray a prayer in the name of Jesus. The Bible says a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord himself shall raise them up. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, and in faith believing, I will do it. Yep. You see, our problem is we complain about the mountains instead of praying them down. We complain about our circumstances instead of taking our spiritual authority in the name, everybody say the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus over it. He said, if you had the faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say that to that mountain, be removed, and it would be done. Our problem is not the lack of mustard seed faith. Our problem is the lack of speaking to the mountain. We'd rather complain about it. We'd rather complain about our woes. We'd rather complain about our sicknesses. We'd rather complain about things instead of taking authority over it in the name, all powerful name, most powerful name in heaven and in earth, the name of Jesus. Pray for the city. Pray for open doors and opportunities. Matthew 10, verse 5. The 12 Jesus sent forth. And he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. But notice what he said. I'm getting ready to close. He said, heal the sick. Everybody say, heal the sick.
Heal the sick.
Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely. You see, here's the thing. Here's where I want to bring this message to conclusion today. Doing the supernatural in the natural world through the power of prayer. I know it doesn't make sense for you or I to walk into a hospital room or into a place of business, into the grocery store, and hold hands with a person and begin to pray in the name of Jesus for them. Brother, that's what we need to get back to. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed, church, of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it is the power of God and the salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek or the Gentile. This, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We can't be ashamed of the gospel, and neither can we be ashamed of Christ in the gospel. And neither can we be ashamed of the anointing and the power that he has given to us in our lives. These are things that we can do. The problem is not the lack of empowerment in the church. The problem is the lack of going and doing and being. Doing the supernatural in the natural world through the power of prayer. And here are six practices for you. To those who have a heart for the harvest. Number one, we talked about it. They pray for open doors. What does that mean? Pray for an open door. Pray for an opportunity to share your faith with someone. When was the last time? When was the last time you shared or I shared? We shared our faith with someone. Good, you hear anything? When was the last time we shared our faith with someone? They pray for open doors. People who have a heart for the harvest pray for open doors. Number two, they make their message clear. It's not a complex gospel, it's a simple gospel. Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he will. They use godly wisdom with the lost and the hurt. And truly, we need to use wisdom. The Bible says, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What great is God given to all men literally? They optimize their opportunities. Do you understand? The scripture said, work while it is day, and the night comes. Our night is coming. It's dead. It's time to work. They speak with grace. We've got to speak with grace. Our message is not a message. Our witness is not a witness of anger. It's not a witness to demean people or put people down. Our message and our words have to be seasoned with the grace of God. Love has to flow off of our lips like honey out of a honeycomb. People need to know their love. And then the sixth thing that comes to mind that people have a heart for the harvest, they're personal. They seek to be individual needs. Here's the conclusion for that. Go back to the beginning. This was the question. Who is my neighbor? Because in the context of the verses there in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 begins with verse 25. This is where we're going to close this morning. So I would love for you to look at the scripture very closely. As we bring this to a close. Because here's where we are. We major in the first great commandment. The question here is the context is Jesus is with a group. And a question is raised. He said, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, you've answered right. This do, and you shall live or have that eternal life. And Jesus, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down, and Jesus answers the question with this very provocative parable of the Good Samaritan. It was provocative because he was talking to a scribe. He was talking to someone who was a leader in the religion and the Pharisees. These were religious leaders, and Jesus specifically speaking to them, he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, the Levite Likewise, the Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him. Hold on, I'm finding my verse. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Let me go back a couple of verses. Jesus answered him, a certain man went down from Jericho and fell on the feet, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Everybody say religion.
Religion.
That way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Everybody say religion. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of it, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now Jesus was answering the question of the lawyer, a scribe who was a lawyer. And he answered the question with this parable. The question was, who's the neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Jesus didn't say, well, the man that lives next door. Because even in that context, in that day, there were still a lot of people who lived in tents. There were still a lot of Bedouins. They lived in tents. Spread all over the countryside. Not just those who lived in block stone or block houses. But he said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell unto thee? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. We major in the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And we all do really well with that one. We love God. You ask anyone in this room, we love God. We love God with all of our heart. We come to church. We serve Him in that manner. We come together and we worship Him. The church where we're not failing God in our love for Him like we're failing in our love for our neighbor. I'll explain. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is our neighbor? And what Jesus shows us in this parable is your neighbor is anyone who you come into contact with in your life that has a need. That's your neighbor. Meant something much different than what we think. We think that our neighbor is the person who lives on our right, down on our street, and on our left, and maybe one or two across the street. And those are our neighbors. But in the context of Scripture, you can't put that first century understanding into the 21st century context. It basically meant that whoever you were in contact with was considered your neighbor. And I think about the church. I think about the Jeremiah paradigm is that we are to make the best of the situation we have. We're to make the best in this world because we are the light of it. You see, the world needs the church. The world needs you. Hurting people, lost people need you. They need Christ. And we've got to make the best of this church. And I think of the words of Jesus, and I think of this thought of the Good Samaritan, who was in the world, who was in a place where he didn't belong, who was in a situation that was very awkward, but he walked up to that Jewish man who was beaten and left for dead. He was a Samaritan. The Jews thought the Samaritans were dogs. Most people would have given him every right for him to walk on by. We expected the priest to stop. We expected the Levite to stop, and they didn't. But we really didn't expect the Samaritan to stop. And we as a church, we as the body of Christ, have to get over our prejudices. We have to get away from those prejudices based on a person's culture or a person's the color of their skin or their nationality. We've got to get over those prejudices. We've got to get over the prejudices of how people dress or how people act. We've got to realize that those are the people we're called to. Jesus said, that's your name. But the greatest commandment, and you could go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and I could take you there, but for time I'm not going to, but it's called the Great Commandment. And that same scripture is there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is the Great Commandment. And then the Lord says to Israel, I want you to take those commandments and I want you to teach them to your children and your children's children. I want you to teach them when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way. I want you to teach that to your children. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is our neighbor, church? We'll tell you who our neighbor is. They're all around this community. They're all around Dayton, Ohio. They're around your house and my house. They're in the grocery store where you buy groceries. They're at the job where you work every week. They're at the plant where you go to work. They're at the doctor's office where you visit the doctor's office. For the young people, they're in the school where they go to school. That's our neighbor. Jesus said to that man, you're considering eternal life. That needs to be your focus. You love God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. And he may have thought, that's good. That don't hurt me because I don't really have any neighbors. I don't consider I have any neighbors. We all have neighbors, church. The Jeremiah paradigm was about this question. Who is your neighbor? The church is not what it used to be. That's not a negative statement. It's changed. The culture of the church has changed. If we're going to minister, we're going to build a church, and we're going to help build God's kingdom, we're going to have to do like Christ said. We're going to have to build it where it's at. We can come over here in our cornfield, our own cornfield, to build it, pray they'll come, but likely that's not going to happen. So where do we go, Pastor? Jesus said this. He said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. We've got to do things like find where our neighbor is, and we've got to help meet his needs. That was what he said to Jeremiah. Most of us are looking for ways of escape, to get out of our world, to get out of our communities, to get out of those houses. And the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, build a house, have a family, raise kids, plant a garden, eat it. Make the best where you are. Because you are the light of the world. answer to those things. Over the years, I've heard so many people pray that God would help them get away from where they are and move somewhere else and do this and do that. And my mind always goes back to the Scripture. To that Scripture. What Jeremiah said to the people of Israel who were in bondage, they were in slavery. He's telling them to build houses, have kids, plant gardens, and eat. Because you're not, this is not your final home. We're gonna work on invitation. One of the things that we're gonna work on as this year continues to progress, you're gonna hear me talk about it again and again, is the year of invitation. Because I really believe the Holy Spirit is telling the church, we've got to get out of the mentality that we're in and begin to go out there and show people the love and the care of Jesus Christ. How many of you have someone that you can be a blessing to that is not a Christian? Here's the misconception that many Christians have. We think we got to get that. We gotta stab them and slap them. We gotta get that person saved and cleaned up, thinking right, talking right, acting right before we can have anything to do with them. Wrong. We need to be willing to get our hands dirty. We need to be willing to start once again sharing this great treasure we have with other people. That's what the Jeremiah paradigm is about. That's what this question was about. Who is my neighbor? God has given us all a social responsibility, I believe, for where we live. In this Dayton, Ohio area, this is a needy area. This community, your community, where you live, Huber Heights community, East Dayton, West Dayton, wherever you may live, it doesn't matter. They're all needy communities. Instead of laying on our couch with complaint and asking God to deliver us from it all, we need to get up and we need to get busy about being light and loving, hurting people. Isn't that what the Word said? That's just not my rant as a pastor. That's what the Word, I'm preaching the Word. The church, let's build some houses. Let's have some spiritual children. Let's plant some vineyards. Let's plant some crops. And let's eat of the fruit of the land and know that God is with us. We're not going to be here forever. This is not our final home. But the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to make the best of it while we're here. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Would you just stand where you are today as we close today in prayer? I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this morning and hearing this message. I truly, truly believe it's a message for the 21st century church. The Holy Spirit is calling us. He's calling us out of our pews. He's calling us out of our comfort zone. He's calling us into a harvest. Calling us to hurting people who need Jesus Christ. He's calling us. As your heads are bowed, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your loving grace. Holy Spirit, I pray if there's a one here, that God, that somehow, some way, that they know, God, that they're not where they need to be with you. God, you're calling us. You're calling us. Our time is short. The days are coming. Jesus is coming soon. We're living in the last days. You're calling us to attention. You're calling us to a harvest. You're reawakening the church. As a body of believers, we're to be the light of the world. You called us out of the world to go back into it and to begin to win souls. To begin to meet needs, help hurting people, and win those people to Christ. The church isn't built by cloistering ourselves behind these closed doors, but the church is built when the God's people share their faith and shine their light. Meet the needs of hurting people. I pray, God, that you would put an outreach heart in every person in this room right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would plant a burden, oh God, in the hearts of your people, for lost people who are dying, God, and in the reality they're going to hell by the literally tens of thousands every day. And yet, God, we seem unconcerned. Because we are not answering the question, who is our neighbor? But we love God. But yet, God, if we say we love you and we shut our mouths of compassion, how dwells the love of God in us is your question. I pray this morning, God, that you would give the church a new and fresh burden to reach out into the hospitals, to reach out into the nursing homes, to reach out into the prisons, to reach out into the jail, to reach out into those highways and hedges to win those people to Jesus Christ. It's time for us to go shine. It's time for us to go shine. You've answered the question who our neighbor is, Lord. And you challenge us to be light in the world of darkness. Challenge us to the world, even though we're not of it. I pray, God, that you would reawaken. I pray that you would reawaken the mission spirit of the church. Make missionaries out of everyone. Make missionaries, Holy Spirit, to the job site. Make missionaries to the grocery store. Make missionaries out of us to our schools. Make missionaries out of us into our communities. Make missionaries out of us on the highways. Wherever we are, make a missionary out of each one of us, God, to share the love of Christ and His good news. Raise up some missionaries again, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus.